Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and Higher Ground. Why do you love Jesus? I love him more than life itself, and I want to talk to you about why I love him. Come on, come with me to Higher Ground. Hello, I'm Barry Black, and this is Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to talk to you today about why I love Jesus. And I want to talk on the subject, the wounded winner, the wounded winner. One of the things that I love so much about our blessed Lord, as strange as it may sound, I love the wounds in his hands and in his feet, because they remind me about how much he loved me and what he was willing to do for my salvation. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning with verse 35, we find these words, "And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why does doubt arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He was a wounded winner. You know the background to this story. Cleopas and Rufus, two of our Lord's disciples, were on their way from Jerusalem to a little town called Emmaus. As they walked the 3 miles or so to Emmaus, a stranger joined them. They did not know he was the Lord. I love the way the risen Savior makes himself known to us. The stranger, the risen Savior, inquires of them regarding why they are so sad. That's a great way to connect with people. Ask a question. You want to start a conversation? Ask a question. Jesus at the well in John chapter 4 says to the woman, "Would you give me a drink of water?" He wants to know, why are you sad? And they say, "You must be new to this territory. You haven't heard Jesus of Nazareth, a man of mighty works, was cruelly put to death by the Roman authorities. And we thought he would be the one who would be our Savior." He began to open to them the scriptures. And when he did, their hearts burned with a strange and joyous passion. They reached a place, an inn, and they were so exhilarated by the words he had spoken, they invited him in. Although the Bible says he made as if to go on. And when he came in, they prepared a meal and asked him to pray over the meal. "You sound like a preacher, mister. Why don't you offer the grace?" And when our Savior raised his hands and they saw the nail prints, they knew who he was. It is interesting that in his post-resurrection appearance, Jesus is so different, his disciples don't recognize him. Mary, at the garden tomb, thinks he is the gardener. But when they see his wounds, they know who he is. That is why I love this wounded winner. I personally would have eliminated the wounds, the gash in the side, the nail prints. But he retains the wounds. I love him for his sacrifice, but I love him even more because he is my wounded winner, and he has made me thankful, not only for Calvary, but for the wounds he continues to have. Now, we know 3 John tells us that we are the sons of God, rather 1 John, I think it is, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I've got a list of things that I don't want in my post-resurrection body, on my post-resurrection body, okay? I've got some clear ideas about how I want to look, but my wounded winner has the nail prints in his hands. He showed his disciples his hands and his feet. He would say to Thomas, "Reach hither your hands, touch me. I'm not a spirit, I'm not a ghost." And that's why I love him so much. And I'm so thankful for his wounds. I love him, first of all, because I have one word here, same. The wounds remind me that he is the same Jesus, not a ghost, not an apparition. When he ascended into heaven, later, the disciples stood gazing into heaven, and Acts chapter 1, verse 11 said, two men in white apparel said, "Why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken from you will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The problems and the challenges that I face in my life, those problems require the same Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Galilee. I want the same Jesus, the same one who turned water into wine. I need in my life the same Jesus who could calm the storms. I need in my life the same Jesus who could cast out demons. I need in my life the same Jesus who fed the 5,000, who had power in the hem of his garment. And I am so thankful for his wounds because they remind me that this is the same Jesus. And one day I will see him again. That's why I love him so. That's why I'm thankful for his sacrifice. The second reason why I am so thankful for the wounds is because they bring, and I have the word wonder on the chalkboard, they bring wonder to the angels. Do you know that heaven was interested in your salvation? Do you know that when our blessed Lord came to this earth, he brought wonder to the angels. They were astonished at the fact that our Lord was willing to come and die for fallen humanity. I said wonder, but it's angels. He brought wonder to the angels. Praise God. When he came to Bethlehem, a praise team came with him and sang on the Bethlehem hills. And Luke, gospel, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward humankind. When he ascended with the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. I think the 24th Psalm captures it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is this King of glory? Shouts one group of angels. And back comes the antiphonal response, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? He is a wounded winner. And throughout eternity, I believe that what brought wonder to the angels will bring wonder to us. That the science of salvation will be something we will study throughout eternity. I'm so glad. I'm so glad for his wounds because they remind me of the wonder he brought to the angels. The third thing that I have on the chalkboard, trophies. You see, his wounds are trophies from the battle he fought. His wounds are trophies of the combat he endured. From time to time, I visit our wounded warriors in Bethesda. I see their loved ones looking at them with adoration. Some of these warriors have lost limbs. Some of them have been disfigured, but it does not matter. Their wounds are the trophies of their patriotism. Their wounds are the trophies of their passion for their country. And our blessed Lord, he had trophies when he came back. He had trophies when he came forth a victor from the grave. You see, he did battle with satanic forces. The devil tried to take him out. In the early days of his ministry, he engaged in something called the messianic secret. He would tell people he healed, "Don't tell anyone that it was I who healed you." But the people would go shouting and praising God, and eventually his enemies knew that he was the Son of God. They said to him, "By what authority do you do these things?" In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, imagine asking someone who can speak to a storm, and it obeys him, "By what authority do you do these things?" And finally, they knew who he was, and he knew they knew. And he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it up again." In other words, as the Songwriter put it, go ahead, drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and bury me. But soon one day, I will be free because I'll rise again. There is no power on earth that can tie me down. I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. The authorities tried to keep him there. It was combat, hand to hand. They put a stone in front of that sepulcher with a Roman seal on it. But on Easter Sunday morning, he got up. He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. No cosmetic surgery for his post-resurrection body. I'm going to keep the nail prints. I'm going to keep the wounds. And when I ascend to heaven, they will be the trophies of my combat, the trophies of my victory over death, hell, and the grave. There is a fourth reason why I love him so much and I'm thankful for his wounds. Those wounds bring power to his intercession. You see, Hebrews 4:15 says he's a high priest who intercedes for you and me. And those wounds, when he says, Father, my blood, Chaplain Black needs my sacrifice. There are the scars. There are the nail prints in his hands. What power, what power they bring to his intercession. You see, even as a minister, I have been guilty of what I would call presumptuous sin. What is presumptuous sin? It is sin that we continue to do because we think we're succeeding with it and judgment has not come. That is what David is talking about when he says in the 19th Psalm, verse 13, deliver your servant from presumptuous sin. Imagine having to plead to the Father to forgive someone who is engaged in premeditated transgression, but who asks for forgiveness. And yet that is what my blessed Savior does, and he lifts those hands, and the wounds bring power to his intercession. I love what he does. I love those wounds also because he's bringing them with him in judgment, according to the word of God. He's coming in judgment to judge the quick and the dead. Philippians 2, chapter 10 says, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe even the devil will bow. I believe that's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 and onward. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's the first resurrection of the dead. But then later, after the millennium, I believe the New Jerusalem will descend from God. Descend from heaven. Revelation chapter 21, John says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And I believe everyone who's ever lived will have an encounter with the Savior. And that encounter is going to be amazing because they are going to appreciate the story of redemption as I believe they never have in before. And I believe that a part of the convicting force that will cause every knee to bow is that the scars will remind us of the sacrifice our Savior made for our redemption. Oh, I love the scars. I love the wounds because of the fact that they convict in the judgment. And then I love the wounds because they provide inspiration to me. Hebrews chapter 12 says, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. So we should lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And when I face temptation, when I face trials, when I face trouble, I know what he went through. His wounds remind me that I have not yet resisted unto blood in my struggle against sin. His wounds remind me that I have a long way to go to be like my Lord. I haven't been spat upon, ridiculed, wounded in my side. Life's no bed of roses, but still, I can't deny, I've got a long way to go to be like the Lord. His wounds inspire me. Roger Bannister, the British physician, was the first person to run a 4-minute mile, okay? Sub 4-minute mile. It's interesting. There were those who said a human being can't run a mile under 4 minutes. And there were folk who would predict of the deleterious impact on the human body that trying to do it would make. You know, we can't see that happening, someone running a sub 4-minute mile. The lungs will explode, someone said. And yet, after Roger Bannister did it, it inspired so many runners, they knew that it could be done, that not too long afterwards, there was a race where multiple runners ran a sub 4-minute mile. They knew it could be done. And when I look at the wounds of my Savior, I know that if I trust him and hold on and persevere, I too can live an exemplary life. I too can follow in his train. But I think the final reason why I love him so much and I love the wounds is because they let me know that he sympathizes with what I go through. This is not some absentee celestial landlord. Hebrews 4 says he is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. In all points, tempted like me, yet without sin. When I think that the suffering is too great, when I think that the road is too difficult, the journey is too hard, all I need to do is see his hands. All I need to do is see his feet. And they remind me that he understands. He sympathizes. And that motivates me to cry out with the gospel hymnist, "Precious Lord, take my hand. lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn through the storm, through the night. Lead me on to the right. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on. Why do you love Jesus? I love him because his wounds remind me that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews 13:8 puts it. His wounds remind me that his sacrifice brings wonder to the angels. His wounds remind me that he has trophies from his combat in this earth. His wounds remind me of the power of his intercession for me. He is my great high priest. His wound reminds me that I will face him in judgment and that I have his blood to cover my transgression. His wounds inspire me to not become weary in well-doing, for his wounds remind me that he sympathizes. And when I get to heaven, I want to see him. The hymn writer says, just to behold his face. I want to see him, but I don't just want to behold his face. I want to see his hands. I want to see his feet. And when I see the wounds of my blessed Savior, my wounded winner, I will take off my crown and cast it at his feet. And right there in that celestial environment, cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Yes, slain and retaining the wounds in his hands and in his feet. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.